everyone. How's everyone doing on this lovely fallish day, right?
Very fine.
Are you awake, Patrick? Are you awake?
I'm not.
Okay. Shar, are you awake? Okay, I don't have much, but try to make it lively if we can. So, first thing off on our agenda is to approve the meeting minutes for our September meeting. The advisory board here can make a motion to approve those minutes if you've read them. And if you're
motion to approve those minutes.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second for those minutes? Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we'll just jump right in. We have a bit of an announcement, I assume. I've heard a little bit about this, about some changes for World Refugee Day. So I'm going to turn it to Amy McConkie, who I've heard a lot about. Amy, where are you?
Right here.
Okay. Face to a name. Amy and Alex will cover what the idea is and how we might move it forward. So come to the table. It seems like a very formal thing with two seats. And, it's like a legislative meeting. It gives me slight anxiety.
We're much nicer.
But I'm on the other side of the time, so it's better.
Yeah. See your therapist tomorrow.
I will. Yeah, especially during the session.
Let me also introduce Natalie Thompson. She knows all the management of the event, like kind of the who's on the ground of the day. And then Rita Lennon is with Mill Creek City, and she is the communications director for Mill Creek. And so we all kind of work in tandem. I just wanted you to see the faces and players of who's involved with us.
Thank you.
So we passed out this brochure. This is our program this past year. And Venture Out has been going for 14 years. And the thing that kind of makes, if you want to see like the whole firm, just that first page kind of shows you what we've done in the past year. It's a traveling show from park to park, and it's about bringing the community together and building partnership and building relationships. As part of that, we view ourselves as a little bit of a platform of an event. So we have movies, we have the stage, we have live music, we do all these different kinds of things. And then where we find that we benefit the most is when we partner with others, and they kind of make these events sparkle. They actually make them more engaging for communities to participate in. And that's what we'd like to have a connection with World Refugee Day that way. We're looking at, of course, to your approval, but that we would suggest the venue being good Cottonwood Park.
What's the address of Big Cottonwood Park?
So it is 1300 East and about 4100 South.
Okay, that's where the softball fields are, right?
Exactly.
Okay, I got it. That's
so
a big park.
The regional park of the county is a very, very big park. It's a huge park. But it has a lot of amenities for us as we do our events. And the proposal is that we would expand World Refugee Day to Friday night and then also on Saturday. And again, we would be providing that platform to make it more expansive and inclusive. And with some of the programming that we have discussed with Alex and Casey, that there is that space to do that expansion for more soccer, for all those kinds of activities.
Wow.
So it's just really fun. And then as part of that too, we've been doing this for 14 years, and we've kind of learned where to put the electrical, the garbage, the, these things that people don't want in their head. We're really good at that. Very good at that. And so again, we look at ourselves as providing that space, but then also partnering and working with the refugee community to probably get that they want to put on. We also really love the partnership with folks because that's a kind of way that we create these partnerships across the board. That's the overview.
And
I don't know if there was other
meetings. No, that's really great. Any questions about the overview? Alex, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so you should have in your binders the World Refugee Day Venture Out Partnership Proposal.
Where's that at? Hold on. Where's it at?
It's on the tab that says World Refugee Day.
That would be logical to look under that, right? Okay.
So this just sort of breaks down more specifically the cost savings that we would have in partnering with Venture Out. As she mentioned, they've been doing this for a really long time, so they've got the permit procedure on lockdown, the insurance, the rentals, they already have the stage. They already have a lot of these big expenses that we've had to find money for previously. So if you'll just look alone, the permits is around $1,000, and this is just a rough estimate. Then going through the rentals, as a lot of you know, this year at Fairmont Park, we had to rent cement. We had staked in the park. They didn't have the electrical watch because we had the generators. A lot of those really big expenses would already be taken care of by VentureOut, just a thing they already have. And if you look on the back too, you'll see just garbage cans, they have connections to bounce houses, and this is just some of the expenses that we would save. I'm sure there are a lot more too. So it's roughly around $9,000 just in cost savings. And then you can see some of just the additional benefits that Amy already touched on quite a few of these, but VentureOut, that packet you have, goes out to about 40,000 people in Mill Creek. So it goes to 30,000 households, and then a bunch of school children get it through their schools as well. Mill Creek is huge. They're a fairly prosperous community, so just really bringing in more of that mainstream audience, really facilitating the integration that World Refugee Day is best known for. And then just the event expansion possibility. We were thinking the Friday night could be a movie similar to what VentureOut typically does that would be refugee themed. Food vendors would have an opportunity to sell that Friday night as well as all day Saturday, same with the global market vendors, so more opportunities for the refugee communities to sell and get their products out there more. They would have mentioned they would hire private security, so they could just leave their stuff there that Friday. And then Saturday would be our similar event that we've done, the oath ceremony, the soccer, the volleyball. But yeah, just having that space to expand the event even bigger, if need be. Again, having this community partner piece is huge. And then finally, just little things like there's more room for parking there. I know that was a big concern this year with Fairmont Park. It's right by public transportation again. Again, these are just really broad strokes, but I think it's just a win-win.
So how do you market it?
So this flyer goes out in the direct mail.
Direct mail.
Out to all the households in Mill Creek.
Okay.
And then we also go with that school district is one of our partners, and so we actually get this in passed out through the school network to the different elementary schools. Then we do social media, we have email campaigns, those kind of things to put signs out. It is, as you know, one of the ones we've done for 2 years is the Sunnyvale Park. Which is just obviously right here. And it is interesting how we start developing these relationships and how the event grows and expands. Okay. So people kind of word of mouth, those are other ways that we don't have a problem with attendance, I would just say.
Okay. Questions from?
I'm curious, what is the management fee for this?
So there isn't a management fee for it. So what we do is we receive money, and these are from Salt Lake County. We now receive money from Mill Creek City to put on these events as they go around. And then we also raise sponsorship dollars to help offset it. And our goal is just really to bring the community together. So what our enhancement benefit to us is that we bring the community together. So that's the reward. And so we have time and money allocated to each of these events that we do during the summer. So we'd be taking the allocation to this event. It would expand. It would be more one of our more expensive events. But we also think that there's ways that we can offset that with other dollars in revenue. So there wouldn't be a management fee at all.
Whatever it's called.
Partnership.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just, we all put in and I'll get the reward.
So you would sell sponsorships?
We do sell sponsorships.
What would you expect to get for revenue out of the sponsorships for the event?
So and it wouldn't be specifically for your event. So if you look at this front page, you'll see who our sponsors were this year. What they do is the sponsors attract to our event is that they like their commercial on the movie. So they get the trailer. So they put, a minute commercial, and that's where they actually come in as sponsors. So what they like is that for the entire summer, they're thinking about 12 shows that they're going to have their commercial out, and that's how we get the revenue. So the sponsor would be recognized as on the screen before the movie starts. But that's how we do that for them.
So it would be another event in your portfolio of events that you could get exposure to your sponsors?
Yeah, so we would just take the one that says the splash party for June 22nd. It would essentially become, that would be, we call it World Refugee Day. It would be all about that. Then inside here, you have a program where we're listed where we, and we could even do a full-page spread where we're listing more of the activities on a Friday and Saturday. So we want to keep this as a major feature, and we would like to do other partnerships to bring more people down for this day and the celebration.
So you have other activities that are associated with big, with Splish Splash Bash?
So Splish Splash Bash would move to another date.
Okay.
So that would, like, it is the 100% World Refugee Day, so it would be focused on that. So we would be, we would bring out the, you know, the outcasts, but I think this is where we have the communication of what do you want. I mean, we're viewing this as not, that, you know, we're doing what we're doing, and then you just add on. We want it to be a combined effort that it's us working together, and it becomes World Refugee Day. And Adventure Outdoors is hosting this in, you know, at Big Cottonwood Park in Mill Creek City. It is, that is located in Mill Creek City.
One of the great things, I don't know if we mentioned it, but is to have vendors both on Friday and Saturday. So those people who set up on Saturday, the refugee booths, they could be set up also on Friday. So they'd be able to make maybe double, maybe more money, and have to do the setup only one time, which I think is a great advantage for refugees. And then the other piece I can add is we did share this idea with our staff and some people around the table, and I have only gotten unanimous support for it in terms of feedback. So people are very excited about the opportunity to open up World Refugee Day to a whole different audience, to have a larger space where we can accommodate newer, more exciting, you know, additions to the event as time goes on. And keep our partners, current partners, engaged in the same way. So I don't think it would make a difference to those organizations that partner currently with us. So
we want those, the partnership and the I did go to one planning meeting, and that group still needs to, we want that to exist for an add-on and help to kind of release them. So, but we don't want it all to, like, go away to, okay, it's being taken care of. Like, the community that has been around World Refugees needs to keep giving to that event, and that is what's going to make it successful. I think that what we were talking about is operationally we come in as a help. And then I think what we look at this is a great opportunity for the community to participate in World Refugee Day, and that's a plus for us as well.
Just a quick question. It's not only for the two-day World Refugee Day that we do, so we do for the entire month. So would we be able to advertise other events that are happening throughout the month?
And I don't know how you typically advertise them. We could figure out something where we put, like, World Refugee, we put some kind of information here so people are aware of it. That wouldn't be an interesting problem to advertise like that. And I think these are all things to work out, but the hand is just, like, you know, making this happen. I know that it's been a challenge because you've been changing locations, and so this is another way. I have to say that you, Big Cottonwood is actually a very easy park to do events in. So one of the challenges of it, though, is it's a very big park. There's plenty of room to expand the park.
Do you have questions? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add, Mill Creek City fully supports me. I'm so excited to be able to do this with Andrew Howe. We've been partners with them since only over 2 years since we've been a co-creator, but before that, Venture Out has been an incredible asset to our community. And I think one of the reasons we're incorporated now is because of all the public outreach and the community outreach of this event. One of our mayor's main objectives is bringing our city together. We run from the mountains to the Jordan River. So we've got that whole area around Sunnyvale, and it's been great to have Sunnyvale events going on down there. We're developing the Bronze Program that the Depression is familiar with. So it's very, very high on our list of priorities to bring our community together and try to reach out to those areas that we maybe haven't done so in the past. So we are fully supportive. We put a lot of money into this. We find it to be worth 10 times the money we put in. I just wanted to make sure that the whole city is.
Thank you for adding that. Yep, appreciate that. Go ahead, Steve.
I was, if I could say so without implying that I got some sort of problem with your organization, because all of it sounds wonderful, but it just making sure that we don't associate with something that isn't going to, you know, have the kind of appearance that we wanted to have on behalf of the refugee population. So is there some kind of a vetting process you would go through?
So we have a meeting with community leaders this weekend, and we'll share this with them and see if they have any feedback. We've shared it. I shared it with as many people. I haven't gotten anything negative associated with Venture Out. I think the advantage that I see is that it will bring a lot more non-refugee folks to the event. We've always had a good showing in terms of the refugee population, but with us partnering with this organization, we'll have the opportunity to be exposed to a whole nother audience, and that is, you know,
wonderful.
The purpose of the event. So,
I should just explain the governance on this. Utah Venture Out is the official nonprofit. It is a nonprofit entity, so it is a 501c3. So that, I think that's probably helpful information to know. So, you know, all the permits, all that kind of stuff, we're all registered. I mean, those are all things in terms of the governance that are done.
And I mean, the planning of World Refugee Day has always been a large committee, a lot of partners, a lot of organizations involved. So it's really just looking at Venture Out as being an additional organization and having, you know, that levitated exposure and sponsorship, an opportunity to just really heighten and expand this already great event.
I do want to say, this is some background on this too, from the state's perspective. For the last couple of years, just to alleviate some of the staff constraint with their expertise in RSO, we have been looking for a backbone partner. We've approached multiple organizations in the past. There, we do have constraints in terms of some of the ways that we can spend some of our money and the way that we have to move our money. Alex gets really busy during this time to be able to move that money as quickly as we can because we do have constraints as a state. And so we have been looking for a backbone organization. I think the interesting thing is that this is good timing because they attended World Refugee Day and they showed an interest, and at the same time we were kind of looking to offload this backbone stuff from our staff because we aren't the experts in, you know, concrete blocks and wiring and garbage and all those things. Our staff quickly, as we are in World Refugee Day,
they become
the experts, and then we have other staff that actually volunteer their time to pull this off, and so it does take a lot of creativity on our part. So we're happy to partner with somebody that has that backbone expertise. We've been looking for it for the last couple of years. We've talked to multiple organizations. We actually approached the refugee community several years ago to see if there was a backbone organization that could do something like this. And it's just, it requires such a technical expertise that there wasn't any there. So we have been looking for this because we feel like that backbone portion really should be in the community somewhere, but it should maintain a partnership. It should be very collaborative. It should have the look and feel of the refugee community, but we do think that there are experts in the community that could take a big piece of this and run with it. So I just wanted to let you know that from the state's perspective, we have been searching something like this out so that you didn't just think that, you know, we are looking at the first person that we came across. We have been searching for somebody that has that expertise that could do this.
Thanks for sharing that. Any other questions?
I think throughout that time, of course, there's going to be a lot of other things that will be happening in the community. What would you make sure that we do that, you know, our event stands out compared to all the other events that are happening? Because if we've been branding this event, you know, our organization is working together, but if we blend with all these kind of activities that will be happening, how would you make sure that, you know, our event stands out?
I'd say that all the activities that you're doing in promotion should still continue. We just add on even more of a layer. And I think that people actually keep this throughout the summer. So if you were to say all the stuff that you've already done with World Refugee, and then you're adding this on as a component, there's no cost to you to adding this on. So like what you've budgeted for communications and such, those activities should still continue. And then what we would do is have this in the program that gets even more distributed. And the thing is World Refugee is a great day. I mean, when you say, like, how does it combine, it actually, I think it's going to stand out, and people are going to be like, oh, that is so exciting. I think I'm very excited to present this to the residents. Now, this is a free event for everybody, but because we received the funding from Mill Creek City, that's where this funding goes out, as a mail to that. If there was additional funding, could we mail us out in a bigger way? Yes. But that's the, know, that's how it works. So I think we would just be an enhancement.
Yeah, but Tara, would you be still doing the same promotion, the same communication that we've done around Girls Are PTA for years to make sure that we still are reaching the same audience?
I don't know. I think it sounds like a winner. What do you guys think? Anybody have any burning questions that you want to ask before we take the vote? Since our funding is involved in many different ways, I think it requires a motion to approve moving in this direction for World Refugee Day. So if there's somebody of the board that would like to make
I move
motion.
To approve.
Thank you, Steve. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Yeah, we are as well. I think it takes it to the next level. And welcome to the refugee team. Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. Well, that should be cool. June 22nd. Put it on your calendars. Two days, I guess, now, huh?
Yeah. Okay. 21st and
22nd. Yeah. Thank you so
much. Thank you, guys.
All right, Asha, strategic planning update. Give us your update.
So Paul is still the chair of this committee. He's out on jury duty, so I'm filling in. And Steve, maybe you can help update if I miss things. In your packet under employment, there's a summary sheet that kind of gives an update. The committee has met twice, I think, since our last meeting. Mostly what we're focused on now is to identify some performance measures that we could all agree to continue to gather data on. There are some listed that we're looking at right here: average placement wage or wage increase, number and percentage of individuals earning a living wage, number of career pathway trainings completed and in progress, and so and so. So that's kind of what we've been spending our time talking about. I've also included in the packet just some of the materials that we've pulled together over the course of this committee coming together that talk more about the strategy, the refugee center support plan that lists the short-term trainings that we will be offering over time, the pre-skills trainings that we're working with partners to offer. When I say we, in terms of the short-term trainings, I really mean Salt Lake Community College, because at the center we are we, right? And then just at the last document in the packet is the overall Utah pathway to employment. That was the initial document that this group came up with to identify our kind of strategic plan or pathways and the pieces we wanted to work towards having in place to help move people, refugees, to a livable wage.
Talk to us about next steps. Planning is great and plans are great, but I always use this term, nothing implements itself.
So in terms of
not
the
magic,
in terms
people
of,
have to do stuff to implement. So what are we doing to implement?
In terms of the performance measures, we are once we have those clearly identified, we're going to gather data from all of the partners at the table in the strategic planning process and start to track whether there's, you know, we are accomplishing our goals towards getting people to higher wage, career pathways, all of that. So, and then other pieces in terms of implementation is looking at getting the English and the pre-training skills and the basic tech training in place, so that it fits with the short-term training that we're working, we're trying to get people engaged in. So building that pathway. So it's really working with partners to get all of these pieces in place so that refugees will have more options, especially for the lower English-speaking groups.
So I've employed a lot of refugees for a long time, and I think I know something about it, but I've learned so much about the process. I had no idea. There are so many complicated questions, sure. Like what is a living wage? You know, and how does a refugee get better off with regard to a job? Who am I to be telling someone else what better off? You know, am I motivated as refugee A as opposed to refugee B to make more money and think I'm now better off? These are difficult questions, but we've got to put these hooks in the fabric if we're going to measure.
Yeah.
Then it's a question of what is the average wage anyway? And again, here you have refugee A, refugee B, and they all have their different, not just points of view, but spots in life and progress. And so there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there is.
They're really good questions to ask, I think.
I think we spend a lot of time also talking about how the navigation would look like for the refugees from the start until the finish line. So I think there's a lot of things that we're looking into. Figuring out, you know, there's a lot in general throughout that journey where it's just going to take from the beginning to the end of this process.
But, and if I could add, I'm not sure where that finish line is. So, and what I mean by that is they go through these short-term trainings and they get with a company, and anyone that gets with a company and is a good fit, that company is going to reinvest. So the finish line really hasn't happened yet. I would like to see how we measure after the placement of these individuals, how far they progress in that company because of the investment. And I know that's a lot of metrics to try to grab, but you know, companies are they invest in good people.
Yeah.
And you know, so the workforce certificate that they achieve and I sign, I'm excited for. Somewhere down the road, they're probably going to pick up one or two more because that company's reinvested in them. So as far as the finish line, it may be a stop out from education, but hopefully that's all it is because they'll come back.
And I think the committee, in terms of our discussions, we don't see the short-term training at all as a finish line. It's a piece in terms of that pathway towards long-term employment. And if we can help get people the career laddering information they need, and if we can get employers aligned to start to provide some of the pieces of next steps training within their organizations, then we're creating the right pathways for this whole process to move forward. And so the last piece that, in terms of the planning process that we will be working toward is the employment conference, which is scheduled for May 31st and June 1st, with the idea that we would engage employers, more providers, the refugee community to kind of go out more broadly with the message and the tools and the support for this pathway.
Actually, I just had a couple questions around the performance measures. Have you guys identified your data sources? And if so, what subset of the refugee community does it represent? Will it just be individuals that are enrolled in DWF programs?
So we're still working on some of those pieces, but we would be, so every employment provider that's at the table would be identifying the data for the folks that they're working with. So we as DWS would also bring the folks that we're working with, but IRC would bring theirs, CCS would bring theirs, DI, and the Humanitarian Center would also bring theirs. And these are all folks that are already at the table. So we want to try to get as broad a range of refugees as possible and providers that will stay at the table and provide the data.
Any other questions on the employment piece? So by listening to everybody's comments, so the May rollout is the next key milestone, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Rolling out to the business community, you'll have the metrics that we're going to measure it so that this board at some point will know whether it's working or it's not working.
Yes.
Okay.
And what we have to do in order as a broader refugee services platform to support those outcomes. It's hard to know what to do if we can't measure,
sure.
You know, where are we and where are we going and how we're doing.
all of that. Help us with our problem solving. Yep. Okay. Well, we look forward to that May milestone. So, and I believe Fatima, you're prepared, right? To talk about volunteers. You're all prepared. Tell us what's on your mind.
So the volunteer subcommittee met a couple months ago, and we have several events that we're organizing. In February, we want to host volunteer fairs here at the Refugee Center to sort of bring in refugee service providers and the table, as well as mainstream community members. As you guys know, February is also the mainstream base, so there's a huge service opportunity as well to align with. And then April is also volunteer community seminar. So we want to host a joint volunteer event where we can hopefully get the governor in there and appreciate volunteers that are working with refugees. We discuss about a program that's happening over in Colorado. They have a website, and Gerald was able to gather some facts about that website and figure out what the website does in terms of like building awareness for refugees in Colorado. The website is good in terms of, it's similar to just a Just Serve app. It costs them about $17,700. It doesn't match volunteers, but it does give them an opportunity, or you know, to know what's available and how people can get about the different service providers. So we'll have a next call in to learn more about that program and see what we can do to adopt our volunteer recreational or activities around that as well. Do you have anything you want to add, Gerald, about the website? Yeah. Any questions?
Any questions for Fatima? A suggestion, if you want the governor or the lieutenant governor, you need to ask now.
Definitely.
Yeah, so they book out way far in advance. So if you want either one of those,
okay,
put the request in as soon as you can.
We'll send you a date.
I can help. I will help you. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Fatima? Okay, good work. All right, we're plugging away. RSO funds, do we have any?
Yes, we have a little.
We haven't spent it all yet.
So the report is under the tab RSO funds. We have not spent it all yet, but we are, I think we do need to request the ability to move some out of the unrestricted. So right now there's $21,724 in the unrestricted. We spent some money for funeral requests and for rental assistance, so both of those are in the red. Right now we are short in the funeral. Actually, we're not short in rental, but we are, if we get another request in rental assistance, emergency rental assistance, we are not going to be able to meet it. So the total amount that is in the fund, I should say, is $46,000, but it's separated out in these different categories. But in unrestricted, there's $21,000. So I would like to make a request that we move $5,000 into rental assistance from unrestricted, and $5,000 into funeral to just help meet those needs when they come up in the community. So that would be to move $5,000 in each category, so $10,000 total, which will put us at a low for unrestricted. But
what were your fiscal year 18 expenditures for those two categories?
Good question.
Year to date.
Don't see. Yeah, I don't have them here. I don't know. I'm sorry, offhand, but probably we had four or five requests, so I'm gonna guess it was about $2,000 to $3,000 in rental and similar for funerals.
Do you want to see that before we make a decision?
I just think it would be helpful. I don't know if the rest, if we're going to move from unrestricted to a maybe you should probably move it back, right?
Yeah, we could.
I think it that would be helpful to know what your
Yeah. Day-to-day
expenditures are.
Yeah, I agree.
Could you remind us of the decision we made several months ago about this body's participation in funerals?
Mm-hmm. I think we agreed that we would generally do 5,000 for a funeral, and if there was some extraordinary circumstances, we could go up to 1,000 for an individual request.
500.
I mean, 500. Sorry. 500. 500. 500. 500. So that we could support as many individuals as possible with the funding. So it's
that's a case-by-case kind of evaluation, right?
Right.
And you, Asha, make that determination, or?
So I work with the team. We gather the information, and then I will talk to Casey before we make the final decision.
You have to view approval of up until $999, and
right.
Anything over $1,000 has to come to this body.
I think there's two causes. The main two things that the communities are going to need are the rental system and the funeral expenses. So, and there isn't any other entities out there that are covering, especially for the funeral. It's really important that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, can everyone agree upon moving?
I'd make that motion.
Thank you, Superintendent.
$5,000.
$5,000. Yep, into each of those categories. So rental assistance and funerals. And you seconded it, Batar?
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Back to Amelia's point, a trend, you know, so we can make decisions based on what we've done in past years would be helpful.
Okay.
Plus, I'm wondering if we're going to run out of money. You know, what's the flow look like over time?
Mm-hmm.
You put 5,000 in each of them, is that going to last you through the end?
I think eventually we are going to run our money because we are not adding to the fund in the same capacity that we're pulling out of the fund. So the only money that has come in a large quantity is really towards World Refugee Day, and then we spend most of that out. So
seems maybe a little wise to squirrel away a couple of dollars to make sure you don't get any real compelling requests right at the end.
And we can't handle it,
yeah.
I agree. So with this venture out concept that we approved, that offsets some of the costs that we would incur with World Refugee Day, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that may help us get to the end of the year.
And World Refugee Day has been positive anyway, right? Financially positive?
Yes.
So maybe this will augment that number.
Yep.
Except the money that comes in for World Refugee Day goes to World Refugee Day. So it doesn't go into unrestricted. We can't use it for funeral.
Across there.
Right.
Okay, anything else about the RSO fund that you'd like to propose to the board?
I think I better rest here. I'm good with this.
Good with that? Okay.
Yeah.
Good, very good. It looks like, Michael, you're up. Is that true to you, Phil? You guys are like the three amigos back there. Or something along there. I'm sure.
So there should be some pages in your binders. I'll put together these are the main activities that happened over the last 3 months.
Under RSO report.
So Mario and I both ran through a few of them. There's a lot of overlap between RSO activities in general and what happens in the center. This is the primary place that these are happening. But overall, the center of things have been going very well. It's very busy. Last Saturday alone, there's over 200 people here. Generally, Saturday is the busiest day. Just to jump into a few things, if you turn to the second page, under the actual highlight, one of the programs we have is Girls Who Code. This program has 16 young women, 8 volunteers from the industry that are leading it. This is a partnership with the STEM Action Center as well. The nationwide curriculum in the last 20 weeks. In addition to this, we're currently working on developing a program to follow this up. So it's not just a short-term introduction, but also something that's sustained that we can do with them in the past and take some of these girls. The industry is also lacking and help place them in internships and mentorships as well. So we're currently developing that. It's off to a really good start. And then you go. The fourth page in October. That's our cumulative overview of the RCBO, that's the Refugee Community Based Organization. We've funded 16 of these programs on the capacity grant. There's 16 of these organizations, sorry. Those organizations are running 38 different programs right now. And to date, so 1 year grant cycle that we've been working in partnership with the LDS Church. To date, we're 8 months in. We've had close to 1,000 participants. Those are unique, non-disciplinary participants. And they're coming up on 600 different events that have happened. To do these events, we rely on our community organizations to help convene the community, and we provide support to connect partners that can provide expertise on different content areas. A lot of these workshops range around things like women's health, education, youth engagement, parenting, and a variety of other topics. And one highlight from that, in addition to the main programming, one of the community organizations has had a referral piece of an add-on. They've referred 32 people to DWS that have all gotten jobs. So that's just a little side piece of what's happening because of the outreach that these community organizations can do that sometimes we can't ourselves. And the last one, just to jump ahead to you, we go to the end of August. Maybe we can do the last page. There's a senior resource there. So we have three weeks and a half. Something to know about this week is it's often isolated groups. They're difficult to convene. There's often a lot of meetings here. So they're close to 50 people at hand, 11 different providers. Those individuals, in addition to being connected to resources, receive eye exams, free glasses, and some dental care and referrals for free support. One last thing I want to add, I believe it was last meeting, I discussed some of the youth interns that came out of the tech program. They were offered employment by the company MX that they had a internship with. MX did a short video as well on this, and I just wanted to share it with you.
You going to show us the video?
Yes.
Excellent.
I love this video. I've seen it 10 times.
10 times? Okay.
I'm serious.
You love it that much. Tweetable?
I'm Abdullah Kareem. I'm 17 years old. I'm from Iraq, and I'm an engineer out of Memphis.
My name is Omar Dahir. I'm 17 years old. My parents came from Somalia, and I'm an intern at MX.
Omar and Abdullah are pretty awesome kids. Both of them had actually been students at the refugee center for a few years now. They've been putting in all this work, all this extracurricular work, and just showed a lot of commitment that we actually decided to give them internships.
What me and Marcus are doing with the Refugee Center is volunteering and teaching refugees how to code, with the end goal of placing these individuals in software engineering positions.
Since I'm a high schooler and most high schoolers just usually stay home over the summer, I was pretty stoked to come here and work for MX for the summer.
I really owe it to Marcos and Ryan for really giving me that self-motivation and for really being my mentors. They really made me love programming, and at the same time, we were able to create a friendship.
The whole time we're like, these kids have been great. I wish I had, you know, half this drive and half this ability when I was in 11th grade. It's important to double down on patience and empathy and understanding. And it really is amazing, though, to see the progress that these students have made, particularly in how much they're able to accomplish with having so little to start out with. It's a stark contrast to, frankly, in many beginning software candidates, like, hey, you know, I just feel like you've been given so much and you've actually done the opposite.
MX has been incredibly supportive with all of this when it comes to giving us a budget that we can put towards getting the material for the class, but even more so with the interns coming in, allowing them to come in, the internship that Omar and Abdullah are going through, it's quite unique.
The negative things that are going on in the world can be crippling. And I really have seen that with, you know, effort and desire, that powerlessness, it is extremely possible to have a concrete impact on your community and the people who are living around you. Really all it takes to shake that mirage of powerlessness is to show up, commit, and then course correct when you realize that you've got it a bit wrong.
For someone doing it. Really good. Well done.
Well, tip of the hat to MX.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that one, Michael.
And the best part is that they will both offer jobs by the CEO of MX when they graduate high school.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Wow, that's nice.
Right?
So these kids started in the kind of modest hump of coding stuff you got going on here. Wow, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
It's been close to 3.5 years now since the same, so they're the ones that really stuck with it. They're in classes that are primarily adults. So they will leave high school in addition to that job offer. They also have an industry standard certification, the Oracle OCA certification, 2 years of tech internships at 2 different companies. So it's really great to see, and in addition to just those students, the volunteers and plus individuals in particular, I've really dedicated almost every weekend to choose. So it's
awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah, there's every reason to believe you've planted some really important long-term seeds there. Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you. Well done, Michael.
The startup wage is $55,000.
Wow.
Do you have any more room in that?
How many more kids can we put in there? So upon graduation from high school, they're going into that.
It's the same job that a college graduate would take.
Okay.
It's a junior software developer.
Okay.
You know, if I could add to that, you know, the statewide IT pathways program that's going on, MX is really a great example of what industry is saying, and that is, you know, the bachelor's degree for IT just isn't mandated. There are two companies in Silicon Slopes that say, we'll only hire bachelors and above, and we'll only hire from the top 10 IT institutions in the country. Everyone else says, get the skills, get the certs, and come to work.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're seeing, and these two young men are absolutely living proof of that. And quite honestly, I wish that video would be shown. In fact, hopefully Silicon Slopes has that, because I think CEOs down there need to see that, because I think that would spur a lot of other opportunities. Well done.
Let's talk to our communication shop about how we do that. And we can get it to Quint Betts or whoever we need to get it to ask him if you wouldn't mind distributing it, because it might pique more interest from employers that are...
Yeah, I think it would. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Not just that, build equity in the community at every level.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't look at that and say some good things are going on in the refugee services office?
Yep. Yeah, let's do that.
The video is on social media, Michael's page. There's 660 reviews so far.
I don't know.
You guys want to share it? So yeah. There's a lot of views. You guys have just added on, so it's trending.
It's when the right person gets it and it jumps up to a million pounds. It usually has to be something really stupid.
Is it on YouTube?
Oh, you can hashtag it, yeah, sure.
It is?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to send it out on our little modest social media platforms.
Did we tweet it from RSO, or what did we
do? I sent it to Bethany. Right now it's just on the RSO page. So
on Facebook.
Okay.
Let's talk about that as well, how we... spread it around a bit more extensive. So maybe initially have Michael send it to this entire group, because we can do things individually right now, and then maybe a broader effort.
Alright, any other questions?
We're just
thinking.
amazed at what you're doing. Good job.
I do have one thing from the book that I forgot.
Oh, you want to go backwards?
Yes.
Okay, Asha's asking to go back to a prior agenda item, which I wouldn't typically do, but...
So sorry.
Because we have time, we'll go ahead and allow you to go back to the funds piece.
So, I am going to go out on a limb and ask to move $2,700 again from the general fund to pay for training. So we have three individuals that participated in the warehouse training that didn't qualify for any other kind of funding that we had. So we ran out of any private dollars that were directed at training. So we are making a request to use $2,700 from unrestricted to cover the cost of three individuals in warehouse training. It would be for $900 each. So.
And WIOA funds can't cover the cost, no?
No, not WIOA or TANF training or any other.
There's no other source. Okay.
No.
How have you handled these shortfalls in the past?
We've had individuals that have contributed funds toward training. That so then we can, if someone doesn't fit into any of those, we would use that private money. But we just don't have any more left. So
your approach to it would be you accept them, and then if you can't figure out a way to plug them into a different program. You routinely come, you do this for everybody, and your intention is to do it for everybody going forward in the warehouse cohorts?
Yes, but we need to make sure we have the funding to do it. But yes, I think it's not fair to offer government funds to one person. And, you know, for individuals who want to be in training, it seems like we should be able to say, if you're interested and you qualify and you're going to do something good with your life, go for it.
Totally.
Not say, based on the funding, sorry, you can go, but you can't.
Yeah. But obviously you have to have the funding to do it.
Yes. So in the past we have had the funding, and we are just at this point in a shortfall, and we're hoping we will again. So.
Is there a category? I don't see one that says training.
So it could come out of the... Education and Training Center, the Utah Refugee Education and Training Center.
Far right at the bottom. So you're asking for $2,700 to be moved out of the unrestricted funds to the training funds to support three individuals for training. Is that correct?
Yes.
Anyone want to make a motion to that? Or more discussion? Yeah,
I move we move it. It's moving. It's a very moving movement.
A second?
A second.
Any further discussion on the issue? Thank you.
Yeah, there's to what your question prompts me to think is we got to have a system for this. Otherwise, it's just a scholarship fund.
Yeah.
And so to the question, do I want to support that? Absolutely. And I'm going to vote yes. But we've got to think this. That's right. We've got to think this through. And maybe it is a scholarship fund. But I think we've got to think through what the inflow is.
And because we received the money, I'll abstain from the vote. But to back up Asha and all the time we've been working together, this is the first time this has come up. So, this is
the first time. Okay.
Yeah, because Asha and Mario have been very diligent about making sure the funds are there, or if I have funds that are specific, then we make sure that they know up front. So this is...
Definitely.
Because my number one thing is I love finding funds for different trainings. In fact, let's finish this vote, and then I'll add.
Well, and so it seems like a year and a half ago we had our first request for assistance with a funeral.
Yeah.
And now we just budgeted for 10 funerals for this coming year. And things that we start...
Can I just clarify that we've always had requests for funerals? I think because we wanted to go over $1,000 for that one particular request, it came to the board.
Okay.
So usually they're under $1,000, and so then we would figure out.
But the point in provoking the conversation from my humble point of view is just making sure that we have a consistent, equally evenly applied process, so we're not picking and choosing winners and losers.
Yeah, I agree.
But we have a system that welcomes everybody in the same way.
Yeah. That's where you're getting at, yeah.
Yeah. Because we do seem to have these a la carte things going on, and you do wonder if there could be any accusation of a lack of consistency in the application of the money. That's all.
So can we ask of you, Asha, for the next meeting to outline what that criteria may look like? So that we have a comfort level of we're not picking winners and losers. We have a process that we go through to decide upon.
Yeah, plenty of room for judgment, but still some framework that allows us to say this one goes into the hopper at least for consideration.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we'll have that in our next board meeting to consider. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion to the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That motion passes. You wanted to add too, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
We have, because of the new West Point Center, West Point Workforce and Training Education Center, we were able to raise monies through sponsorships and industries giving back. And those monies are really used for this type of training. And while the program we just talked about isn't out there, injection molding for the medical device manufacturing, diesel and electronics, and a lot of different programs that are out there, the monies that we raise are just for individuals like this. And so, you know, we started out with just a couple of programs a couple of years ago, and now we've got a list of programs. And as we add more, even though physically those programs are out there and not here, there's always a convenience of doing the programs here. But having composites and injection molding and machining, those types of opportunities, I just want everyone to know that we have monies to help those individuals. Just as you saw, and thank you for the report, the RSL report with all the different trainings, there are individuals that can definitely benefit from this and go straight into living wages with that training. And so whether it's that, we have a partnership with the county where we're going to have some funds for hospitality training that we'll make available to the refugees. As well as, I was in Houston last week, I served on a couple of boards. We are looking to partner with Google on some IT training opportunities they have done worldwide. And we're a few months away from that, but, you know, their number one goal is to help the underrepresented and the underemployed. And so, you know, I see it as we serve about 12,000 people in our division each year. And I just got a report from all of our partnerships with EWS, with, you know, Invest in U2 and Invest in Dads and all these different neat cohorts. Yeah. And through the refugee services, you know, we're almost up to, I think we're over a little over 400 students this past year.
Awesome.
And that's
giving money to
that. Well, not giving money. They're earning it. Yeah. You know, they're earning it. But it's getting individuals through training.
Yeah.
And so
it's awesome.
That's, you know, the facility is wonderful and our mainstream programs are wonderful, but those are the programs that get me up every morning to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to find $100,000 in this.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've hit all of our agenda items. Is that correct?
Mario needs one.
Mario?
Mario can be moved.
Gerald Brown? Yes. We have a little bit of time. I want to take 5 minutes. You did have something.
I was just, if you don't mind, I was just wanted to clarify this last point.
Sure.
For just regarding the training, so why we asked for it. So we're coming up to 130 students that we trained for these short-term trainings. And what we actually had is we always make sure that they have the funding before the class starts. That it's secured. We utilize 9 different funding sources for it. And we never had one. The only reason why we had it is we had 3 students from Ogden who were sort of isolated, and they were willing to take the train down and attend these trainings for warehousing. And we had funding for it from a private company, and they were going to donate to this fund, but then they found out that they cannot donate to the RSO fund because it has to be a nonprofit. And so then they were not able to make a direct payment because they had to be like an award. They had the money, exactly this much money to spend on. So it was a last minute thing that we couldn't find any other funding for.
Okay, that's a good clarification.
But apart from that, we've never actually ever counted. We can, we don't.
That's a great clarification. Appreciate that. I'd like to give Patrick 5 minutes, and I'd like to give Patar 5 minutes just to talk about resettlement issues, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what the latest is, so that the group can benefit from your knowledge and understanding of the current state of refugees and what we can expect as a state.
Okay.
And we're glad you're here, by the way, Patrick.
Thank you.
That was a great representative for you, but we're glad you're here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I'm looking forward to the next 4 months participating with all of you. Natalie may have had her baby today. We don't know.
Cool.
She's a week early. So thanks for having me. You know, I'm just going to depress you with what's going on with the...
Well, just give us a reality check, yeah.
So, I mean, as you know, the ceiling by the president was put at 30,000. Last year it was 45,000, which really didn't matter because only 23,000 refugees were resettled by our country, even though it was at 45. So the pivot now is to say, fine, we're at 30,000, but let's get all 30,000 here, which would be then 7,000 more. Nationally, I mean, just for IRC, we're hoping to not have to close offices, but closed the Miami office, we've closed the Garden City office, and we have 22 offices remaining. We served, I think, 51% of what we did the previous year, so it's a huge lot. And for us, and for Batar's office, it has a snowball effect, so we have arrivals that come in that we have per capita contracts with the health department and with others, and so if we are set up to serve 600 refugees and 250 show up, there's 350 per capita expenses we don't draw from, so it has huge impacts.
Sure.
It's both the match grant, health services, and other services. So we're facing that as a network, and our office in Salt Lake City, we're trying to build value-added programs through our economic empowerment, through our bundling of services, and so we've been fairly successful that way. So we're here to stay, but our numbers were down last year to 257 arrivals, and just 2 years ago we were at 631. We're not seeing hardly any Muslims are coming in at all. Before, 51% of our refugees were Muslim. We're not receiving any Somali, Syrian, Iraqi, Sudanese, South Sudanese. We're getting a few Rohingya through, and I think that's just because Trump doesn't realize they're Muslim.
Nobody's telling you.
So it is kind of depressing, but our resolve is to do as much as we can. We're doing more outreach to asylees, and we're also looking at other ways to help the immigrant population. Just on a personal note, I've just spent a week and a half in Nairobi working with refugees, and it was very depressing, very sobering. I had several, four focus groups of refugees pretty much living in the slums in Nairobi. The Somali refugees are just heartbroken. I mean, they know that they can't come to the U.S., even at that level. And so it's been pretty discouraging for them. And it just increases my resolve that we need to maintain settlement in this country. There are thousands of people that we can help right now. So having said that and depressed out all of you, we had a very wonderful breaking bread celebration last night. And several hundred people there. And so this community is very welcoming. Looking forward to keeping that spirit.
Thank you, Patrick.
So you'll never ask me again.
No, no, I appreciate that. No, I really appreciate that. Batar, go ahead.
I think I'm going to repeat what Patrick said. I think we are in the same boat. And our arrivals also. I think we thought that the fiscal year started with a really good course with Dallas October. We had really good arrivals. And then now we've seen the numbers in November. It's not that great. I'm glad to see that the Rohingya refugees are coming, but not that many. So I think they're the only Muslim refugees that we've seen, no Somalis, no other groups. You know, our network, about a dozen offices were closed down to Catholic charity offices that were selling 100 or less. And I don't think you know, both the IRC and us, our presence here in Utah is very strong, so we don't anticipate, or our network is not anticipating that to be closed down. We don't know the proposal from the State Department when they're going to announce if any of the nine rollouts, if some of them are going to drop out of the system. I don't know when that decision is going to come out. They expended our budget for the fiscal year 18 through the end of December, so at least we have some funding coming through that. Then come January, we'll see what the fiscal year 19 budget is going to look like. Next week, Lieutenant Governor, he has invited about five of our refugee family to host dinner with his family. So I think it's going to be great. This is something that Lieutenant Governor wants to do every year.
Yeah, he did it last year, right?
I think he did it last year, yeah. So this is really great.
Yeah, he enjoyed it.
So we will be moving in March next year to a new location. So we will be moving to Bali Airport, North Kimbo, and I believe 2200 West. So I think they're going to be building a new track stop right there from the building. So transportation will be a great part of mine. It's going to host all our CCS offices, and I think we have room to grow there. So this building that we are in right now, we don't have the room to grow. In fact, sharing offices is doubling up, and we are over capacity in this room. Our refugee foster care youth, we're getting more cases, and I think we're going to be reaching out our capacity soon with our refugee foster care. So well, that's really great.
Yeah, but that's good.
One program is getting some money.
Yeah, good. Any questions for Patrick or Batar?
Well, one thing I forgot, and I always keep saying that I have to tell you, I think that the focus charge rules that came out, so there's a public commentary from October 10th to December 10th. So I've been encouraging everybody to comment on that rule, because that rule will affect our clients, and, both immigrants and refugees. So we need to comment on it together.
And if you're interested, I mean, we IRC put together a toolkit that has talking points of why it's important, and if people are interested, you know, let me know, and I can send that out, and then you can make your personal comments. Yeah. I mean, if you think it's good, I can send it in, and, and then you can share.
I sent out one to the student right here, so.
So how does it affect refugees? Like,
well,
I know how it affects the immigrant population,
but yeah, good question. Well, I think there's a long discussion. For those that are here already, it might not impact them, but if they want to sponsor a family member, it will.
So we should just, if you could send that to us, that would be good, because we should align. We're getting asked, and so we have a specific communication we've been sending out. You know, and Asha's been asked, so, especially with public benefits. So will you send that to me?
Yeah, Patrick? Sure. Yeah.
And I'll just make sure that it aligns with our communication. We can send you what we've got to.
And the other concern is that it, you know, once you start this precedent, then it's this group, and then the next group,
spiral.
And the next group. And so, you know, I think as people who care about vulnerable groups, whether it's specifically that new refugee coming in tomorrow or not, it's still a vulnerable group in our community that we need to speak up.
I think if that follows the idea of this administration's changing immigration only to allow the rich to come to the U.S., basically. That is the flow that we've seen, why they're getting all these new rules. So, I mean, if you're making $20,000 and you go out and marry somebody overseas, you can't live it.
Any questions for Patrick or Pratar? Thanks for the sobering reminder of the situation we are in.
But really, we have 32 arrivals this month, so that's
good. Good, yeah. Yeah. Celebrate that, right? Good. Any other business for the good of the group? Anybody have anything on their mind that you want to share?
I'd like to invite the group to Human Rights Day celebration. It's happening December 8th at Sunnyvale Middle School from 6 to 8. I'll send out an email invitation. You guys are welcome to bring families. Musa, who is a firefighter with wildfire, was nominated and he was selected to win. So the selection happens to the mayor of the council office.
He's in the.
Yeah, he's in our.
When is it? What's the date?
December 8th, 6 to 8 at Glendale.
Saturday, yep.
Kino.
I would like also to invite all of you who will be Sudanese community and the South Sudanese will be having a youth parent debate about issues that concern youth and parents. It's going to be on December 8th. At the public library downtown. And so we have parents from parents who they teach this struggle in school here, so they want to share experiences. Parents also who teach the UL, they share across their experiences. And also we have that didn't struggle and drop out, so we want to just to hear from them what are the issues. And then we have also a number of you who succeeded, and then just
sounds fascinating. So December 8th, same date.
December 8th, yeah, it's going to be
at 2 o'clock at the city library.
City library. So yeah. I will send those information to. I will coordinate actually with
Gerald.
He's the office here.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Very good.
Okay. We'll get it distributed through Asha.
Sure.
Okay. Any other items? Or invitations. Okay, just thank you for your ongoing support to the refugee population. Our work will never end. We remind ourselves of that, even though the situation we're in at the federal level, but there's still lots of work to do here in Utah. So we'll keep our shoulder to the wheel. And you all have a great Thanksgiving. We stand adjourned.
Sorry about going backwards.
How did the thing go?